In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. It's been a minute.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, those Ray Fagnan was great. I mean, you know, I encourage people to go give it a second. If you haven't listened, go listen. It was just really good conversation about baseball. And anyone who works a life in the business, I think it's just fascinating to talk about. On the agenda for episode 141, he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. We're going to talk a little spring training. We'll talk a little Trevor Bauer. I got some stuff to say about Netflix and Theo Epstein and, you know, Sam Kennedy and PGA golf. I guess we'll start with
PGA golf. Holy.
Yeah. No, I mean, we'll get into it.
Spring is in the air and love is in the air, Brian. What are you doing for Valentine's Day? I know it's a Hallmark holiday, but
nothing.
Nothing. Exactly. Right.
Nothing. That's what the Red Sox are doing. In celebration of the Red Sox, I'm doing nothing. So listen, are you excited? Are you starting? I mean, once the Super Bowl's over, it's really about baseball.
Yeah. I mean, for me personally, this is the best time of the year for me. I love baseball,
really?
Obviously.
This is the best. I think it's the worst sports time of the year.
Because it starts the real conversation about baseball, right? Everything up till now has been football, 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 and the Super Bowl. And, you know, talking about free agents and here and there. But let's be honest. I mean, the free agent market has been a little bit stale for baseball, especially lately. There's some big names out there still. But I'm excited because we're talking baseball finally. This is what's coming up for sports fans.
Would you feel the same way if the Yankees were bad?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I love baseball. It's not just the Yankees, dude. Like, I will watch any baseball that's on television.
Yeah. See, that's where we're different. If my team's not good, I'm not nearly as engaged.
Now, granted, like last season when the Yankees were struggling and they were like tripping over themselves, did I watch baseball? Yes, I watched their games, but I wasn't locked in as much. Like, I wasn't right there because I knew they weren't going to come back. I knew they weren't going to win the game in the seventh inning like they were like years before that. So, yes, my interest goes down, but still, the sport is back.
So, two quick things on the Yankees. Are you glad they kept Boone and Cashman now that things have gone the way they have? And give me just an early 1 to 10, 1 being miserably pessimistic and 10 being like, we're going to win the World Series right now in the middle of February. Where are you?
I'm like an 8 for the Yankees.
You're that confident?
Yeah, because listen, they have a great team barring injuries.
What?
They have a great team barring injuries. Listen, they added arguably one of the best players in baseball, probably the best left-handed hitter in baseball, other than maybe Yordan Alvarez, who's 25 years old, who could totally change this dynamic of the team. And that's just one person they added. They also added Alex Verdugo and Marcus Stroman. You take those three guys, you throw their personalities on the team, it changes the whole damn dynamic of the team. As long as they stay healthy, the Yankees are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And everyone's getting all crazy about the Baltimore Orioles and everything. Yes, the Orioles are great. They're young, but they do not have the pitching to do it. They don't.
And you think that with Stroman, the Yankees do?
I think with Stroman, yes. And again, I know I say it all the time. I say the health is a major issue because that's the big factor in every sport.
Of course,
if you're healthy,
especially with pitching.
Exactly.
Why not just go give $75 million to Jordan Montgomery?
I just don't see it. I mean, listen, if you can get Marcus Stroman for the deal you got him and have him for the length of the contract, it makes more sense. He's just as viable.
Why can't you have them both?
You probably still could with the way the market's going.
I'm just saying he's sitting out there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's conversations going. I think the Yankees might be the only team to actually offer Jordan Montgomery a contract that's been public.
They did offer him?
I think so, yeah, right at the beginning. I mean, I don't necessarily think that they
only point is, like, his wife is in Boston. It looks like Boston's either waiting for his price to go so low that they sign him, but, like, between planes and trains, like, New York's not bad. It's not bad at all. He could totally pull that off. So
yeah, I mean, the whole free agent market right now is interesting. It reminds me of when Machado and Harper, I think it was like 2018, when they were out there, and they both were out there to like March.
Well, I don't think it's so much that. My quick viewpoint on it is the high end is defined by how big and how many years. But what does that mean for the middle range? Like, so what are the good players who aren't superstars? How is the explosion in annual average? How is that impacting the average player? Right. So you have these mega contracts that are $35-50 million, but how does that impact your starting player who isn't a star? Like, is that person getting exponential raises? Probably not. So what is that market? Like, to me, like, trying to figure out what people are really worth in this market is difficult.
I think it's very difficult. I mean, like you said, the market is crazy, right? So you have on one end of the spectrum, you got Shohei Ohtani, who's whatever you want to say, he's making a $700 million contract, however length that is.
Which I would never have given.
And then you take the whole other end of that spectrum, and the Detroit Tigers just doled out a six-year, I think, deal to a player that hasn't even played AAA baseball, Colt Keith, who's going to be their starting second baseman. And the same thing, like you could say Bobby Witt. Now, Bobby Witt is a transitional player. He's probably one of the top five players in baseball, gets a long-term contract. But same thing, Jackson Churio with the Brewers, never played Major League Baseball, gets an eight-year deal. Like, there's a huge disparity. So like you said, where does a player like Blake Snell fit in there?
Right.
Two-time Cy Young Award winner who obviously has huge question marks about his durability, his length of innings, his walks. So that's scaring away major league teams. He wants $30 million a year. He's not going to get that. Will he get $30 million over 2 or 3 years? Maybe. Will he get over 8, 6 years? No, not a chance at this point.
But there's got to be some action in the next two to three weeks.
I would say so. I mean, listen, pitchers and catchers report as we speak today, most teams, the February 14th, around there. So it's important for pitchers to get ready. Now, Major League Baseball players, they basically train year-round now. We know that.
Yep.
So they should be ready.
It's not Babe Ruth getting off the train 40 pounds heavy.
Smoking a pack of cigs. But if you remember back in 2018, I think it was, Machado and Harper went late, but they were hitters. I think it's a little bit different for hitters. They're more specialized, you know. I think they can do it more often. I think it's easier for them to get in the groove. I would think within the next week, these pitchers are going to be on some team. I just don't see it being what they want. I don't see it being these big deals.
Well, the longer they don't have a deal, the less leverage they have. So,
but it could be just I don't really see it being a 1 year deal. I can't imagine that a team is gonna Snell or Montgomery is going to be able to settle for a 1 year deal. I see it something maybe minimum two with an incentive or something, but I would think they're shooting three or above.
Yeah, well, the players are going to be desperate for guaranteed money, and so it's interesting. So we're talking with John Senecal, Brian Chackman here on Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Real quick note, that brings you to a pretty talented pitcher who's untouchable for some franchises in Trevor Bauer. So, you know, listen, he was not charged. There's a stain on his reputation or what have you. Tell the story about what's been going on with him and then tell me what you think should happen.
So, I mean, the Trevor Bauer thing goes back till 2021, I believe.
Jeez, it's been a while.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he was suspended from Major League Baseball for the joint domestic violence policy thing. And he did, 300 and something games, which was reduced to 190. So, last season, he could come back. He could have came back last season, but the Dodgers ate his contract and just released him. So, he was making $30 million a year pitching in Japan. He went to Japan to pitch.
How did he do? I don't even know.
He did
know.
Good. He was an all-star. He won an MVP of the month once. I think he pitched under 3 ERA. I mean, he was good. I mean, if you could pitch under a 3 ERA there, you should be viable for a major league team doing something, right?
Yep.
Former Cy Young Award winner, too. But just recently, he came out on a podcast and talked about basically begging for a job, right? I mean, he was basically begging for a job. He would play for the league minimum if any team would sign him.
League minimum was $800,000.
It's $700,000.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would think that somebody would bite, but no one bit. And then a few days later, everybody's favorite Red Sox, Jonathan Papelbon, comes out and is basically saying, well, he did say it. He said he would pay his $700,000 salary if some team would pick him up. And again, crickets, right?
So you could get him free for a year.
Basically, the team would get him free for a year. But now, if you're getting him free for a year, you're associated with him and Jonathan Papelbon.
Right.
He's
a bad guy.
Right. That's like a double-edged
Bauer,
sword.
Is there any sense that Bauer wanted him to do that and is okay with it?
I don't think so.
It?
I mean, okay. I would imagine he just did it because he's Jonathan Papelbon. He's like Curt Schilling. He's got to run his mouth about something, right? The thing about Bauer, and this is my take, he's a lot like Barry Bonds, right? He's an eccentric guy. He's run his mouth his whole career in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
Right? If he was so good, why was he on the Indians? Why was he on the Reds? Why was he on the Diamondbacks? Like, number one draft pick. Why didn't he stick on the Diamondbacks? Like, there's personal issues, right? He's got issues. And Major League Baseball did not like Trevor Bauer when he was coming out talking about all the sticky stuff and the rosin on the baseball and the rotation, basically calling out Major League Baseball.
Yeah. which is something that was technically a good thing.
He
for
was
the
right.
Game.
He was spot on 100%.
But Canseco was steroids.
Exactly. But what happened to Canseco?
He ran out of the game.
You fought the law, and the law won. Yeah. Right. And I think that's what's happening. Like, listen,
is he banned? Has he been Kaepernicked? I mean,
he.
Will he never pitch again in Major League Baseball?
Chapman was suspended for the same exact thing Trevor Bauer was, and he's got a job. So you do the math there. I don't think it's so much about his off-the-field issues. I think it's just because he's a total jackass when he's on a team. He's throwing balls over the center field wall in a game. How is that going to play at Dodger Stadium? How is that going to play at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah,
how is that
going to play? What about a team like Oakland who's desperate for anyone with a shred of talent? Like,
that's a good question.
Because
it just goes to show you how bad his reputation is at a team like Oakland.
Or maybe Manfred said nobody. Maybe there's collusion. Like, maybe there's a court case here. Maybe there's like being told just do not sign this.
So when you look into his so-called cases, like his case was settled on the one girl, the main one. But
it looks bad.
It just looks bad. It looks like there's just like he was wrong, she was wrong. There was extortion and all this other stuff. But. He just has a black eye. I wouldn't be surprised if Manfred basically told
you. Do you think, just really quickly, we got to move on. Do you think he'll pitch again in the majors?
I don't think so.
You think he's done?
I really don't. I think, listen, if you get the dude for free, someone should have taken him.
Yeah. Although I do think there's no reason to recognize, you know, Papelbon. But he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. I want to get to the Red Sox really quickly because I don't want to talk too much about it because it's just too depressing. There's the Netflix series, which I'm told was, I'm like, why now? Like, that's the worst time to have it. They're terrible. But why would Netflix go forward with it? Don't they know, have anyone on staff that knows about sports?
I'm wondering if, because they were doing a whole sentimental piece about the 04 Break a Curse team. So I'm wondering if that got wrapped into the whole thing.
Oh, like in terms of like a 20th anniversary?
Yeah, that's the original one that they're going to be coming out with. And this one that they're shooting now, this season, won't come out until the following year, until 2025. So I'm guessing that it probably had something
and
to do
like
with that.
And it's like a hard Noxy kind of thing?
Yep. You know, and then I'm thinking to myself, who in the Red Sox is going to be the front face for this?
Nobody. There's nobody. Here's the thing, and this is not new, and I just had my one opportunity here. First of all, the Netflix thing is not compelling because you know what? There isn't a single thing about the Red Sox that's compelling. Not a single thing. And what I've said many times is if Fenway wasn't a tourist attraction, it'd be pants on fire there because they'd lose 30% more of attendance.
I mean, are they going to do every episode interview the guy who puts the numbers up in the monster?
I think it's they got to focus on young players trying to make it or something.
Like a Bello, a Grisham.
Whoever it is. Even like Casas is clearly quirky enough to be interesting television.
I would think
probably.
He'll probably be the face of it, Casas.
Maybe. And then obviously you have, you know, Rafael Devers, but, you know, he doesn't like to speak English very much. And so I don't know how that translates. And so I have no idea. But what I will say is that, you know, the reason why I said PGA, because everyone knows that the Fenway Sports Group, you know, the organization owns the Pittsburgh Penguins. They own Liverpool in the Premier League. They at least they used to own or might still own the NASCAR team. And now they're one of the principal investors in this PGA Tour deal. And the bottom line is this is not news. I mean, the Red Sox are not a priority. They're one of many priorities, and it shows. And I don't think, and it goes back to this tourism and Fenway thing, I don't think they understand enough how damaged the brand is. You think about it, just the same way that, like, Belichick leaves the Patriots, he can't get a job. That's amazing. He can't get a job. The Red Sox couldn't hire a general manager because nobody wanted to come to Boston.
Right.
That's insane.
Right.
And so, but it's true. And then everyone's like, well, Theo's back, right? And because he loves Craig Breslow, the two Yale guys.
Right, but then Kennedy comes out and downplays it like he's not even going to be involved.
Well, because I don't think he's going to, I think that's the, my impression is that he's not going to.
Why wouldn't you celebrate him regardless of what he's going to do? He is like your one thing that you can hold on to right now, right? The fans love Theo.
Because they don't want to create expectations. Because Theo, as much as he loves the Red Sox, and I do think that it's disappointing for him to look at what he really built and see it kind of, not destroyed, but deconstructed. And so I think there's probably some pride there. But the bottom line is that he's either going to be a controlling managing partner in an ownership group, or he's going to be the next commissioner of baseball.
That's what I'm saying.
So, like, he's not long-term for this play. Yeah, it's not. And so I think that Sam did that because it's his, one of his best friends, and he's trying to manage expectations because he's not going to be day-to-day involved. If he sees something, he's going to say something. And I don't know how beyond that. I mean, I don't know if he'll have a material impact. Because he's not going to scout players and make calls.
Yeah, it's a puzzling move.
I think it's a move that's good for him and helps the team. But I guess my point is that it's sort of like the restaurant that still gets a lot of people to go long after it was good. You know, and like the food stinks, but people go there
because they're showing up.
The Red Sox are, and it is a full blown disaster. And I kind of, I've said this in various terms, I'm kind of rooting for an absolute 100 loss collapse because the arrogance, and I like Sam. I've had meals one on one with Sam. Sam's been very kind to me as a person. Took meetings with me when I was out of a job and helped me navigate some things. And he's a good person. But I kind of rooting for them to crater because they don't deserve us right now, you know? And I mean,
you think that's something that, I mean, listen, they finished what, last place 3 out of the last 5 years?
I think it might be 4.
4 of the last 5 in the AL East. I would think by now, the stamp is already there. You don't need another crappy season to realize. It's like if you're giving up your stake in the team, Brian, there's got to be hundreds of other people just like you that are giving up their stake in the team.
They said on this recent release that renewals are up.
How is that possible?
Maybe it's on dollar terms. I don't know.
The price hasn't dropped. I'm guarantee that.
I when they said that, and there's no way to fact check it, I was like, that cannot be. I haven't talked to anybody who's spending money. I talked to other people who've canceled. So the only argument is that they're thinning the ranks to sell.
I mean, let's be honest. The Red Sox, even though they won in 2018, they have not had a lot of flavor since Ortiz left.
Wait, maybe they're setting it up so Theo can form a group to
buy the team
and take it out. Maybe that's it.
That could be.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but maybe that's
there.
It.
He's there.
And then he's the owner, and it's out of the Fenway Sports Group, and he's the owner.
Maybe they got their money out of what they wanted out of the Red Sox, and it's time for them to move on to something else since they're so diversified.
Because he can get billionaires to invest.
Not only that, and he's the name. I mean, listen, what Red Sox fan does not love Theo Epstein?
How can you not?
Right? I mean, he did the impossible. Like, they're going to pin him with that. And then he went and did the same damn thing in Chicago.
I mean, the guy walks on water.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a great take, Brian. That might be exactly what
really,
going
now
on.
That I think about it, because it is a legitimate, not unscripted thought. I just, when I think about it, I was like, what are the outcomes here? The only problem I have is that I think the Red Sox make money. And I think if they're using the profits to fund other stuff, they might want to keep it and they just milk it for everything it's worth and not care about wins and losses. But for me, that's it. I mean, why else would Theo
No, if
do
you're not
it?
Going to have a hand, like they said, in the day-to-day operations of the team, there's something definitely bigger.
And Theo, he doesn't want to own the Kansas City Royals. Like, I mean, I think that like he wants to own a team that means something. And there's only a half a dozen teams, sorry, folks, that mean something.
No, it's true.
And, you know, the Ricketts aren't selling. You know, Steve Cohen's not selling. You know, that private equity folks in L.A., they're not selling.
The Oakland A's aren't even selling. They got an offer to buy 50% of their stake in the Oakland Coliseum, and they're not selling. They're moving the damn team, and they're still not selling their stake.
Yeah, that's crazy. I would definitely sell it. Any last thoughts here before we go? We'll start doing regular stuff. I'm still working on Joe West and a whole bunch of other stuff, and I just saw that the Orioles AA manager is a Connecticut guy. We got to get on him, too. It's a really interesting story.
Yeah, and
we'll get Bobby Meacham, of course.
That'd be great. Yep.
The former Yankee who's now the Hartford Yard Goats manager right down the street. That's already in the works. He'll definitely come on.
My final thought is the Yankees got a lot of good problems if they stay healthy. They're going to have to figure some stuff out. They got some outfield issues to figure out. And
Stanton.
Just in general, Stanton's always going to be an issue with them. But, like, you know, real quick, they didn't trade Spencer Jones for Corbin Burns. So they are super high on Spencer Jones, who is an outfielder. So if he's coming along in the next 2 years, Stanton's on the team till 2027, unless they can get someone to take him. So the Yankees have got some good issues that they need to work out. I'm excited. Spring training is officially starting, and man, I wish I was in Florida listening to
you. You're annoying. You're ruining my day.
I hate Florida, too, but I would go there now.
Of course. Because we just got a whole bunch of snow. Great to catch up. It's always good to see you. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.